All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Bobby Fenton here, divisional round edition of the show as we get ready for the Bucks and the Rams on Sunday afternoon slash evening, 3 p.m. kickoff at what should be a very nice Raymond James Stadium and a chance to have a berth in the NFC Championship game. The other half of the NFC is on Saturday night with the 49ers visiting Green Bay, so one way or the other, we will know what the Bucks have the opportunity to do, maybe play a third home game or have to go to Green Bay again if they can beat the Rams, which of course is going to be no small order. And ever since that Rams-Cardinals Monday night playoff game, which was just a complete debacle and the Rams ran away with it early and it never felt close, everyone I talked to, including myself, oh man, this is going to be a tough one. Wasn't really worried about the Eagles game too much, but this one feels rough, and it is going to be rough. This is a good Rams team, needless to say. They're trying to kind of be what last year's Bucks were, going on the road. Although they're a little bit different situation than the Bucks were last year, but going on the road for the final two games, assuming Green Bay beats San Francisco, and winning all the way through the NFC and going to the Super Bowl in their own home stadium, kind of a lot of parallels there. But the Bucks didn't face the defending champions at any point last year, and that's what the Rams are doing. And we'll talk on the show today about all the reasons why, yeah, you should be worried, but other reasons why the Rams should be worried too. And it's a tough game for both teams. It's going to be, a lot of it's going to come down to just randomness and turnovers and things like that and stuff you can't predict. But we'll get into all that as well as look at the Bucks win over the Eagles a little bit this past weekend. But first of all, like always, want to thank our good friends at Bill Curry Ford for helping bring the free stretch to you. And if you're looking to bring yourself a brand new car, truck, van, or pre-owned, used, whatever you want, they got it all over there. Go to the website first. It's always the best way. And it's BillCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Check out all the inventory, the completely transparent, no-haggle online pricing is all right there. And then after you feel like you got an idea of what you might want to look at, head to the place itself, where it's always been, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, just north of Hillsborough Avenue. Check them out there, where they've been for almost 60 years now, and see everything on the lot, the beautiful showroom on the inside. They got a little cafe in there. Everything's just well done and there to make you feel comfortable. But if you'd rather not, you can also just have them bring it to your house. And I'm not just talking about a car you buy, even one you want to look at, test drive. Just call them. They will send the car to your home or office or whatever. And if you buy it, of course, they'll do the same thing again, and you never have to leave your own home. Either way, check them out, BillCurryFord.com. Again, that's C-U-R-R-I-E, and also a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. So thanks to them, and thanks to our good friends at Young Bull Athletics. Check out YoungBullAthletics.com. I had my training session earlier this morning. Got a nice pump. Skin feels a couple sizes too small, which is how you're supposed to feel after a nice lift. I'm getting in mode for Sunday, just like I got geared up for last Sunday. I ended up going to the game. I had to. I mean, I've never not gone to a home Bucks playoff game, so I felt like this was something I needed to do. And, I used to go to every single game all the time. Like, I went for 10 years in a row, like, literally every game, home, preseason, regular season, and playoffs. And then had kids, kind of got away from that. Still went as a media member, but then as a fan, went maybe a couple times a year, watched the other ones on TV. So I didn't have a media credential this past weekend. I just bought off of the Bucks website, the Ticketmaster Exchange. Even if the game sold out, they have the resale ones and all that. And so I got them. I think I got my tickets for like $170 each. And I'm not a guy who pays a lot for tickets. I don't like doing that. But it was all right. I didn't bitch too much. Although the fees still make me upset. So make sure whenever you're searching, whether it's any of these websites, the Ticketmaster, StubHub, whatever it is, and they're all ripping you off, but there's a little button you can click that says show prices with fees, because you want to know that out the door price. Like, I don't care what price the ticket is versus the fees, just tell me the price. So do that, and like I said, out the door was like $170, but it was fun. And I'll tell you what, it felt like the old days at the Sombrero a little bit. Had several fights. I think I counted three fights just around where I was, and I was in the upper deck in the northwest corner. I was low in the upper deck, and there really are no bad seats at Raymond James. Even the last row of the upper deck is not far from the field, but it was nice up there. And I'll tell you what, let me just say this before we move ahead to the Rams game. The dynamic was different on how these fights started. The old dynamic going way back to the old days has always been tons of fans from these northern teams like Philadelphia, or name any number of them, of course, Green Bay, Chicago, any of these teams, they would always just completely take over our stadium because the Bucks weren't very good for most of those years, and it was an easy ticket for them. And they'd get in here, and it felt like a road game for the Bucks sometimes, and these people would walk around like they owned the place, just didn't have a care in the world, and it would lead to some fights, and that's what would normally happen. Well, I saw a few tussles, and I don't condone any of this, by the way. I'm not trying to say this is a good thing, but it did give me some sentimental feelings. This year, though, that wasn't what the fights were. This year, the Eagles fans, and there were Eagles fans, but there weren't that many, they were the ones minding their own business. We were the big swinging dicks now, the Bucks fans. And what I witnessed was several Bucks fans being obnoxious to Eagles fans who did not instigate anything and weren't looking for any trouble, and it was the Bucks fans who were being obnoxious to them and verbally assaulting anybody who happened to walk by wearing green, which again, I do not condone that, okay? But it's a different dynamic than it used to be. Even though there were still some tussles and stuff, this was more, you know, where the old days, like I said, used to be, you know, these people were walking around with this attitude because they felt like they could just push us around, do whatever they wanted, you know, and they could pretty much on and off the field. And now it's the other way around. Now the Bucks fans have their swag on. And, I mean, there was a couple Eagles fans sitting next to me, and I hadn't been friendly with them. I was like, you know, there were people yelling at them, and I was like, dude, don't worry, but just lay low. You know, these people aren't, you know. And they weren't trying to do anything. They really weren't. In their defense, they really weren't. But, and nothing happened with them, but it just in the adjacent sections to where I was sitting, no less than 3 TPD responses up there. And it was, you know, obviously lots of alcohol flowing and stuff like that. I don't think it'll be as big of a deal on Sunday this week because the Rams don't have the kind of fan base presence in a place like Tampa and in general as someone like Philadelphia. But either way, I intend to be there again. Should be a lot of fun. So let's take a look at exactly what we're dealing with here. Of course, everybody thinks of the Rams. They remember the game earlier this season. It was way back in week 3, which feels like a long time ago. But the Rams won that one 34-24, and the Bucs actually had a late touchdown in that one to make it seem a little closer than it was. Although that game was tied with a minute to go before halftime and a really bad, and I always say the middle 8 minutes are so big in football, where if you can win those final 4 minutes of the first half and the opening 4 minutes of the second half, that always seems to be a real big swing in games. And the Rams scored a touchdown in the final minutes of the first half. Bucks missed a field goal to end the half. Then the Rams scored again coming out of the second half, and then it kind of made it feel like a wire-to-wire type of win for them. And they won it 34-24. Now, a lot of things were different in that game than are going to be on Sunday. For starters, the Bucks were a little more depleted then, at least defensively, and we'll talk about the injuries offensively with Tristan Wirfs and whatnot. But the Bucks at that point, SMB was out. I think Jamel Dean in that game got hurt and didn't play much. Rob Gronkowski, that was when he took the shot in the back and hurt his ribs. So he only played, I think, around 10 snaps or something like that. He wasn't much of a factor. So that was a big difference in that game. Well, same thing applies for the Rams, too. They didn't have Von Miller at that point, and they will on Sunday. They did have DeSean Jackson in that game, and DeSean Jackson actually had touchdowns of 75 and 40 yards from Matthew Stafford in that game. The Rams didn't have a play longer than 22 yards besides those two. Of course, DeSean Jackson does not play for the Rams anymore and won't be out there this weekend. So there's differences. And, you know, can't look, even if there weren't any differences, that game was so long ago, I'm not sure how much stock you want to put in it. But that day, the Rams were just better on offense, as much as it felt like a bad day for the Bucks. Brady didn't have a bad day. He was 41 of 55, had 432 yards, had a touchdown, plus another rushing touchdown, didn't turn it over. And yet, the Bucks didn't quite get there. Everybody's talking about, especially watching Arizona over the weekend, or on Monday night, get pummeled by the Rams, and just in general how the Rams have been playing. Although they blew a 17-0 lead to the 49ers the week before in the final regular season game. But everybody's talking about, oh my God, you know, how are we going to deal with these guys? You know, they've got Aaron Donald, they've got Leonard Floyd, of course they've got Von Miller, and those guys are going to be a big problem, especially if our offensive line's not healthy. That's what everybody's saying, and of course that's true. But overall, if you look at it, the Rams this season If you take the 14 playoff teams, the Rams had the second lowest quarterback pressure rate of all of them, which I was surprised to read. That's according to Pro Football Reference. Now, they still had 50 sacks because of what those guys that I just mentioned, Donald and Leonard Floyd and now Von Miller, because of what those guys can do when they get a crack at it in the backfield, they still had 50 sacks. And at the end of the day, you know, you can't argue with that. But their overall pressure rate is the lowest of any playoff team. All the not just left, I'm talking about all 14 to begin with. So it's not as bad as you think when you think of it that way. And even in the first game that they played, besides just their normal pass rush, the Rams blitzed 13 times in that game on Brady, pressured him 11 times, and Brady still completed 41% of his passes for first downs, which is the fourth highest of any game that the Bucs had this season. So the Bucs had some success offensively against that ferocious defensive front. And I know we're waiting on Jensen's going to be fine. He already played. Everybody's acting like Jensen's a question mark. He came back and played the rest of the Eagles game. He'll be fine. Wirfs, if you saw it, if you were there or on TV, you saw, you know, he got hurt, came out, came back in, and then, you know, ran a play and just went to the ground. It was hurting him too bad, so he came out. Now, they always say, you know, we're not going to speculate on injuries on the TV broadcast. You don't want to speculate. We'll just tell you what we know. Well, this is the free stretch, and we absolutely will speculate on injuries on the free stretch. I think Wirfs will be fine. That's me saying that. It's not any inside information. It's Friday morning when I'm recording this. Friday afternoon's practice is yet to come. He didn't practice yesterday on Thursday. We may know more later on, but we may not. I mean, the Bucs don't have any reason to let us know anything. But, you know, to see a guy get hurt and still come back out there, even if he's decided or just physically couldn't do it, I saw him. I was there. I was watching him when he came back out and he ran that play. And yeah, he just couldn't quite put the weight on the ankle that he wanted to and all that stuff. But, you know, I'd rather it's something like Fournette's dealing with, where a hamstring, where you just don't know if the guy can be himself and he can't. How is he at full speed? Will he tweak it again? Something like an ankle injury with a full week to rest it, like Wirfs has had, with all of the medical people they have helping them out, all the treatment you can get, and things like that. I mean, I sprain my ankle and I do nothing, you know, and I just keep, you know, it just eventually heals itself and whatever. And even, you know, that's nobody helping out. With all the treatment they have, it's completely different than a normal person spraining their ankle. It's also completely different when you weigh 300 and some odd pounds, too. So, in fairness, it works both ways. But I think he will play. I obviously can't attest to how he's feeling personally. And I don't know, even if he plays, if he's going to feel great or not. But between being able to tape it up, between all the treatment they get, all the things they'll be able to do, I think he'll be out there. I think Jensen already was out there, so yeah, Jensen should also be out there. So they should at least be whole on the offensive front. And he, like I said, the first game, Rob Gronkowski didn't play much of it. He's full strength now. Needless to say, we don't have Antonio Brown, and we don't have Chris Godwin. These are all things that make the first game, you know, relatively unimportant in my mind. But I thought it was important to just bring up some of the numbers, especially looking back at what the Rams did pressure-wise in that game the first time around. Matthew Stafford, this is a big day for Matthew Stafford. Listen, this is, I'm not going to say it's do or die for his career, but this kind of feels like a defining moment for him if he's really going to take that step forward that everybody thought he could take when he left a bad franchise in the Lions to take over a good franchise in the Rams, and now he's got his chance to do it. And with that said, you know, coming into the year, you know, one of the big knocks on him was his record against winning teams. Part of that was because he played for the Lions, but before this season, he was 8-68 versus teams with a winning record. This year, the Rams have gone 4-5. Of course, one of those was the Bucs win in Week 3. Stafford's teams are also 0-53. That's right, I said 0-53 when they allow 25 points or more against a team with a winning record. And you'll see a theme here in a second. The Bucs, meanwhile, are 26-0 the past couple years when scoring 28 or more points, which is the most times it's happened in the NFL, and of course the best record too since they're undefeated. So the magic number is like kind of cracking that 24-point mark, which they scored 24 against the Rams the first time. Rams are 0-5 this season, by the way, when giving up 25-plus points, and 13-0 otherwise. So that high 20s, and I think the Bucs scored 24 points in their loss to them on Monday Night Football last year, if I'm not mistaken. That high 20s number kind of feels like a benchmark for the Bucs offense. And, you know, if you look at what Tom Brady was able to do in week one, or excuse me, in week three, and the situations he'll have out there this week, you know, turnovers feel like they're going to play a big part. They didn't really play a big part in the first game, but here's one more stat I'll throw. I know I'm throwing a ton of numbers at you today. Here's one more stat I'll throw at you. The last two postseasons, the Bucs have started 7 touchdown drives from opponent territory, from the good side of the 50. All of the other NFL combined has only had 9 of those. So the Bucs have had, and some of that's random, some of that is not. But, you know, that feels like, especially when you take into account Stafford and his interception rate, which was really good to start the year. First 8 games, he only threw 4 interceptions. He threw 13 in the last 9 games. So basically in the first half of the season, he was very good about not throwing interceptions. Got worse as the season went on. And, you know, obviously a game can turn on something like that. You have no idea when or where that's going to happen. And things like that are too hard to predict. But that's something to keep an eye on. But if the Bucs can get a couple of short fields or even one short field and capitalize and not have to go, you know, 80, 90 yards for their touchdowns, that'll go a long way in helping them score enough points to win a game like this. Weather shouldn't be too big of a factor. Like, it wasn't really a factor that much last week, but it was rainy for a little while and very, very windy. The winds should be there again this week, but not as bad as they were against the Eagles, and it should be clear and sunny according to what they're saying. Should be a great day. So email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. BobbyGameDay, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. And on Twitter, same thing. You can get me @BobbyGameDay if you want to give me a follow or just tweet at me and complain or anything you want. I'm very responsive to everything and easy to communicate with. One other thing to keep an eye on this weekend, the referee crew for the game is going to be the Sean Hockley crew. You know Sean Hockley, the son of Ed Hockley, who was the original beefy jacked referee with the big biceps. It seems like there's more of those now. Like, you didn't used to see that. It was pretty rare. And now, especially in college football, I see a lot of referees with the bigger biceps. And they're wearing the tighter referee shirts. They want everybody to know they can move some weight. And I'm all for it, by the way. I think it's great. But Ed Hockley was the original pioneer of all that. His son, Sean Hockley's been an NFL referee for several years now. And his crew, like his father's, is known for having a propensity to throw a lot of flags. So if you're into that sort of thing, and I don't know anybody who is, but if you're into that sort of thing, his crew had 1,903 yards of penalties assessed this season. That's the third most of any crew in the league. And they threw 22 accepted defensive pass interference flags, second most in the league. Of course, that game on Thanksgiving, I think it was, right? Wasn't that the one where there was just a million flags? It was a complete joke. I think that was Hockley's crew. And they did the Thursday night opener the Bucs hosted the Cowboys in, where they had, I think, 19 flags on the Cowboys and 11 on the Bucs. So this crew, and I'm not saying that's definitely going to happen on Sunday, but trends are trends. And this crew tends to throw a lot of flags. And like I said, I know a lot of people who want to see that. You want the game called. You don't want to let them commit penalties either, but there's different interpretations of this, obviously, and that's borne out by looking at the penalty rates that each of the crews have, because there are some that are very flag-happy, and there are some that tend to keep it in their pockets. This one is definitely toward the high end of the spectrum, and so just something worth looking at. But, we're down to that time of year, and it's something that we never, ever, ever used to get to do, or very rarely used to get to do, and now here we are getting ready for a playoff game in the divisional round. Went through the same song and dance last year, and don't let it get to feel routine, folks. I'm telling you right now, like, this isn't how it, especially for the newer Bucks fans, and there's a lot of newer Bucks fans, which is great, but I remember, like, my entire life, like, just this was just some sort of an impossible dream, and then it finally, just to see them get that far, which they did in 1997, was the first time they got to the divisional round. And I was already in high school, almost graduated from high school. And then, of course, 99 NFC Championship game loss, 2002 broke through to the Super Bowl, and then nothing again for 18 years until last year, as far as getting this deep in the playoffs when they went all the way to the Super Bowl. But, you know, I'm reading some speculation. It's just speculation, but some people are saying, you know, there was an article in the Tampa Bay Times, is this the last time we're going to see Tom Brady at age 44 here? He does have a year left on his contract. I don't think he's done, but we don't know. It doesn't feel like he's the type of guy who would, like, announce it before the season and then have a farewell tour type thing. But maybe he will do that, but he hasn't indicated he's going to do anything yet. So, you know, just Not saying that that needs to be front and center right now, but keep these things in the back of your mind while you're watching these games. Like, this isn't always how it's going to be. In fact, it's very rarely how it is. And really enjoy, like, getting to have these extra games. Everybody's watching. You're down to the final eight teams now. If you win and get to the conference championship, you're down to the final four again. Because, I mean, I can still, even now, after all the success the Bucks have had, I can still count on one hand the times in my life when I've gotten to watch the Bucks do this, including this weekend. And so it ain't very many, and there's no guarantee how many more it's going to be, and it's really cool to be in these spots. And I think the Bucks have a great chance on Sunday to do that. You know, getting both of the other times they won the Super Bowl, they had to overcome, and it doesn't mean anything. I'm not saying this is just kind of a coincidence, but both of the other times they won the Super Bowl, they had to overcome some demons from the regular season that year of a team they had to beat that they didn't beat before. And 2002's case with the Eagles, it was more than just that prior season. It was other prior seasons before that where they couldn't get over that hump. But they had lost to the Eagles in the playoffs 2 years before in 2002, then again in the 2002 regular season, and got over the hump and did it. Last year with the Saints, same thing. And I had that same feeling, and I heard everybody else saying those same things last year when we got the Saints in the divisional round. Like, wow. Just don't seem to be able to beat those guys. I don't see how we're going to do it. You know, Saints had beaten them both times in the regular season, and both times it wasn't all that close, especially the one Sunday night home game last year where the Rams won, or I keep saying the Rams, the Saints won like 38-3 or something. So a lot of parallels, a lot of people saying the same things they said before that New Orleans game in the playoffs last year, but the Bucs got it done. Same thing this year. The Rams lost to them on Monday Night Football last year at home, lost to them at their place earlier this year. Now you get them again, and I'll tell you, and what did that Saints game come down to? What did that Saints game come down to in the divisional round last year? Right now, the final score was 30-20. Felt like the Bucs cruised, but anybody who watched that game knows better. And I still say, without Antoine Winfield forcing that fumble on Jared Cook, where the Saints were getting ready to go in and score again and extend their lead to two scores, instead we get the fumble, Bucks go back and score, and they run away from there. Bucks don't even get to the NFC Championship game without that play. They are a divisional round loser, and we're still chasing our second Super Bowl. It can be so random, and the line is so fine in one single play, one single flag, as I alluded to with this crew this week. So many things can turn the game, but turnovers, and you know, it wasn't a big deal last week because the Bucks were just, you know, outclassing the Eagles for the entire 3 hours, and that game never felt like a threat. But a game like this, man, it'll come down to stuff like that. And we obviously have no idea who or how or when yet, but either way, I think it's going to be a hell of a show. So everybody have a good time out there. Like I always tell you, if you're going to the game, that's great, but if you're not going to the game, take these chances, have people over, you know, get together, really savor it, because, you know, like Bill Belichick says, this is not like the regular season. Hey, couldn't get it done this week, let's go watch some film and we'll get them next week. Someone's season is going to end. That's the beauty of the playoffs. It could be ours. And what you'll remember about the 2021 season, even though they had all these other 18 games so far, is really how far you got, and that's what's being played out right now. So let's see what happens. Either way, I'll be back next weekend with another show. Hopefully we're talking about a spot in the NFC Championship game. But either way, have fun with it. Tweet at me, email me if you want to. The whole time I'll be here. And thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to you for listening. I'll see you on the other side, wherever you are. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.